appreciate it. How are we doing? Can you guys hear me? No. Okay. We're going to work on it. My name is Shauna, and I am blessed to be an associate pastor here at Five Stones, and you may have been looking around wondering where our pastor Bill is, and if you did not know, he was in surgery on Thursday for his shoulder, and his surgery went really well, and he is resting and recuperating, and just wanted to say to all of you, thank you so much for your prayers and for your support, and so that he continues to stay in a place of rest and healing. If anything comes up that you need, if there's a pastoral care emergency or something within the body, please contact me. I know our deacons would love to hear from you. And you all are so amazing at caring for one another in community and in your small group. So let's make sure that Bill really rests like he should, because he just wants to be with us, which is amazing, but we want him to heal. So over the past few weeks, we have been giving just some big overviews of what we see in Scripture. Chad was sharing with us about the Bible as a love story. And last week, Bill shared some about our invitation into adventure. And we read that passage in Romans 8. And today, I want to share with you about a theme that you see throughout the history of Israel, from creation all the way through. And that is God coming in and bringing order out of chaos. That he is the way maker when there seems to be no way. So that's where we're going today. But before we do that, I do have a short video. I like videos. So let's watch and then we'll jump in. Who doesn't love a good restoration story, especially when told in a British accent, right? Bill actually was telling us about this show at our staff meeting. It's one of the things during his knee surgery recovery that he was watching. But we're pretty obsessed in our culture with transformation, right? We love just seeing something that maybe has been cast aside, in complete disrepair. We love seeing it be brought to life, and that's evidenced through our obsession with shows like Extreme Makeover and Fixer Upper and Biggest Loser. We love seeing that come to reality, but we know that there's probably not full reality towards those shows because they take, you know, tons of volunteers and time, and they're very scripted. But as I was reading this passage that we're going to look at today, I was just thinking about how Jesus is the person that brings the greatest transformation. And there are just such beautiful stories of how he does that. And he's able to do a holistic makeover. It's not just something that is on the outside, but is on the inside. And actually, Spencer told me that I should name this series, or this the title of the sermon, Extreme Makeover Soul Edition, in his beautiful, sarcastic way, which of course, yeah,
I'm not going to do that. A little cheesy, but I thought that was hilarious when he said that. So today I just want us to look at this radical transformation of Jesus' healing and how he's able to come in with his power and his authority and his compassion. And it's one of the most dramatic stories of transformation, I think, in the Gospels. So we're going to open up to Mark 5, starting in verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And this is, you know, a pretty good section of text here. And so I just encourage you, if it would be helpful to listen and close your eyes and even envision what's taking place, or if it helps you to look at the text, whatever helps you to really engage with these words, please do that as I read. So they came to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim to the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled or was amazed. So I would call that an extreme makeover. This man who was in the worst state of just disintegration that you can be in. And this story is told three times in the Gospels, but Mark gives the most detail about what's going on with him, that, you know, he's been cast out, and everyone had given up on this man, right? He's been pushed to the margins. He has to live in the tombs. He's cutting himself. He's shrieking. He is in a really bad state, and there's a lot going on culturally here. So this is actually the first time that Jesus has gone from just preaching and doing miracles in the Jewish context, and now he's in a Gentile context. He's crossed the sea, and that's significant because in the text there are so many signals that he is in an unclean place, because to the Jews, death is unclean, graves are unclean, pigs are unclean, okay? Gentiles are unclean. So Jesus, a lot of times Jews are trying to
keep themselves away from this. But Jesus is not intimidated, right? He's not worried that this man's impurity is going to make him impure, but he's purposefully going into a Gentile region to this very impure man to set things right. And so that is so exciting. And let me just find my spot. So when you think about these barriers that were at play between the Jews and the Gentiles, and you think about Jesus actually crossing a sea, this story is sandwiched between two sea crossings. So he and his disciples had just crossed over. And Jesus is going out of his way for this encounter with this man who everyone else has given up on. And so the first thing I want us to think about today and to remember is that Jesus goes out of his way to break through our man-made boundaries of separation in order that all people would be made whole. So let me say that one more time. Jesus goes out of his way to break through our man-made boundaries of separation in order for all people to be made whole. And so he made that whole trip because he leaves at the end of the story, right? Jesus leaves. He came, crossed the sea, heals the man, and then he leaves. He made that whole journey just for that one man. And he makes that journey for us as well. I want you to know that Jesus is willing to cross every boundary in order for us to be healed and restored, in order for us to encounter his loving, healing presence. And so I have some questions I want to think about, because it would be great to just sit and marvel at this story like we do maybe a really good show like Fixer Upper, but I want to take it deeper, and I want us to really reflect. So if you have a pen and you want to write a question or something that you think you'll take away with you, feel free to do that. And this is my question. Are there any boundaries of separation that you have placed around yourself, around others, or around God that Jesus is wanting to break through in order that you and others might be restored? So I'm going to say that one more time. Are there any boundaries of separation that you have placed around yourself, others, or God that Jesus is wanting to break through in order that you and others around you may be restored? And we could probably just stop there and think about that for a while, but I have a few more things that I want to share, and I want to pull us into the text where Jesus is beginning to interact with the demoniac. And there's a really big power play that's happening. And if you've read the book of Mark, you might remember that at the very beginning, the author declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And then throughout the gospel, he's proving his case, and he's laying out, this is why Jesus is the Son of God. And this is how the kingdom of God is breaking in through Jesus, because those that have diseases are being healed. The captives are being set free. This is what it looks like for God's kingdom to come. And so the author is just wanting us to recognize Jesus' power and authority to be able to control and to defeat even an army of demons. So legion, if you're not familiar, is a Roman military term, and it amounts to about 5,500 soldiers. So that's a whole lot of demons. That's a whole lot of oppression. And so the author is signaling to us the kind of power that Jesus has, okay, over the greatest disintegration. And so that's what I want us to think about. The next point that I have is that Jesus' power is greater than any force of chaos in our lives. Jesus' power is greater than any force of chaos in our lives. And we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, do I really believe that? And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded about a time in our life when a church I was serving at in Colorado, there were some hard situations happening in the church, and Ray and I were feeling a shift. And we had some friends that had started talking to us about moving to Detroit. And so long story short, we felt like God was leading us to move with two other couples to Detroit. We didn't have any big plans other than let's just go and see what God's doing, because we know there's beautiful things happening here and there's a lot of creative outlets for Ray. Let's just go and see what God has. And we felt affirmed in that. And so we went. And honestly, I really didn't dwell on what had happened at the previous church because I just wanted to move on, right? I just wanted to move into this new chapter. We had our two little girls, they were young, there was a lot going on. And so we moved to Detroit, and Ray immediately got an amazing job working downtown, was having the time of his life. And I really enjoyed it, was excited about all the people that I was meeting. But there was a series of events that started happening that just really started to erode my sense of peace. And that is, we had tried to buy a house. It didn't work out, so we decided to move into an apartment so we could find something. And the first week we were there, there was a fire in our building. And I actually, the fire alarms were not working. And the way that I found out that there was a fire is that my friend who had moved with us and lived like a block away called and said, "Shauna, are you and the girls okay?" And I was like, "Why?" And she said, "Well, your building's on fire." Obviously, I'm a bit panicked. I look out, there's smoke, still no alarm. So I'm gathering the girls going out. So that was just one thing that just started to, I just started to feel really unsettled. And it culminated with an unexpected pregnancy and a miscarriage. And at that point, my body just really started breaking down, and I started having a lot of health issues. And I also was having panic attacks, which I didn't even realize that's what it was. And so I'm saying all this because I really felt in a place of chaos in my life, and it felt out of control. And I was crying out to God, but I think I was really striving and just trying to make it work myself. And it's in that place of chaos that Jesus began to meet me and began to reveal some areas that I needed healing. And I was at a healing care seminar with Terry Wardle a couple weeks ago, and he said this. He said, sometimes chaos is the birthplace of possibility. Sometimes chaos is the birthplace of possibility. And that deeply resonated with me because I have experienced in my own life when I have felt like things are in chaos, when my body is breaking down, when I don't feel like I'm doing a great job of parenting my kids or in the workplace or in my marriage or wherever it is, that there's something in that for me. And so Jesus began to kind of nudge me and say, "You know what, Shauna, you never dealt with this pain from your past church. Look at all these things that have happened. No wonder you're where you are. Would you let me meet you in that place?" And so I just say that because I think so often we just want to skip over the bad parts, right? We just want to say, "I don't want to deal with that. I'm moving on." You know, I even moved halfway across the country, right? I'm done with that chapter. I'm moving here, and I'm starting new. But God was saying, "Shauna, you can't just skip over that because there's hurt, there's pain, and I want to meet you right in that place." Just like Jesus met this man, right in his deepest place of pain, right in the place of just complete disintegration and disorder. And so I believe that God wants to meet each of us in that place, even today. And if this story of the demoniac or my story aren't enough to convince you, I just want to let you know that in this little section of Mark, there are four stories sandwiched together that have the same message. So you guys remember that sea crossing? Well, that's when the storm came up. And Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And the disciples are saying, Jesus, we're dying here. Why are you sleeping? And right, and he speaks to the wind and the waves, and he says, peace, be still. I wonder if he was saying it to the disciples as well. Peace, be still. And so in that situation, the chaos was actually in the created order. And then we have the story that we've just been looking at of the demoniac. And right after that comes the woman with the issue of blood, right? We know that she had been bleeding for years. No doctor could help her. And here comes Jesus. All she did was reach out her hand and touch him, and she was instantly healed. And after that, we have Jairus' daughter, who actually died. You can't get into greater chaos than death. And Jesus heals her. And so I just want us to remember and be reminded of how Jesus will cross any boundary in order for us to be healed and whole. I want us to remember that Jesus' power is greater than any force of chaos in our lives. And I want us to remember that Jesus is the one that brings peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to reign over every situation in your life. And there's a theme that also happens in these four passages, and that's that the people, one, were afraid, and two, were amazed. Some of the people were so afraid that they just wanted Jesus to leave. They told him to go. But some pressed into the fear and experienced healing because they did, and they were amazed at what Jesus did. So let me just pray for us as the worship team comes up. And I also just want to let you know that we will have a prayer team behind these black dividers. If anyone is just feeling something stirring in you, or you're in that place that Jody and Heather were talking about, where you just feel like, I don't see where he's working. I don't see any way forward. We would love to pray for you. Let's pray together now.